Lesson plan. Balcony, let's see your hands. Let's say you see a word. Let's see a word. Say words. Say Jesus up there. Oh, try that one more time. I'm sorry. I confused y'all. I'll give you the benefit of that doubt. One more time. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Very good. Very good. Okay. You can put all that away. You don't need any of it today. Because we are going to take a quiz. Take a quiz. Now, how many of you have never been in a quiz here at the church? You don't even know what that is. Raise your hand. Okay. Here's how it goes. You got to get in the quiz position, which means you put your booty back. I mean, sit up straight. Put your booty all the way back in the seat. And we do a quiz usually at the end of a series. And what we'll do is review a lot of the high points of a series. And we're going to quiz Wide for Love. And I don't know how much we're going to get as far as what's in your lesson plan. You have probably 60 or 70 questions in your lesson plan. We are not going to read it. You won't be able to keep up, and I'm not going to say exactly what's in it anyway. And so here's how the quiz works. I tell you, I make a statement, and then I ask you a question based on the statement. So I'll say, to love God means to obey God, and I'll say, to love God means to what?
Obey.
It's just like that, as simple as that. And we'll do that all throughout the rest of the next half hour or so. The key is to say something. You learn more when you say than when you just listen. You learn more when you write than when you read. And you learn more when you do than when you watch. And so a lot of times when you go to learn, what do? You listen, you watch, and you don't say anything, you don't write anything. So, and you read. So you do what's the least way to learn. So we're going to make it interactive. That's one of the reasons why I always have you interact, raise your hand, answer questions. Because you learn better when you do that. You remember stuff. So we're going to do that for 40 minutes. Understand this. When we take a quiz, and I'm going to give you information, I'm going to come fast and hard, boom, 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 boom. Your brain is receiving information faster than you are. I know your brain is you. And so your brain is getting it. And you don't think you're getting it, but your brain's getting it. And so when I ask you for a question or I ask you to respond, just respond. Don't worry about being wrong because no one's going to hear you. In other words, people are going to go, that's wrong. That ain't going to happen because they're not going to be sure if you got it right and they got it wrong, and they're not going to hear you anyway. We're just going to all shout out. And if I make a mistake, which I will, you can laugh. That's fine. You know, laugh, make fun. It's a fun thing. And so I'm going to have hand signs. I'm going to do all this. I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you this. And I'm going to be going so fast. I'm going to mess up. We just laugh and keep going, okay? And one of the reasons that I want to focus, bring that up is because making a mistake is overrated. It's no big deal. We all make mistakes every day. So don't trip out on it. Let's just keep going and learn. And by the end, you'll have learned and memorized a lot of things that maybe you didn't have, okay? Amen? Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for being good to us. And we pray you, I pray, Lord, that you teach people a lot more information that they think they're going to be able to learn. And I pray, more importantly, that we apply it to our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Everyone say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Very good. Wave your hands in the air like you just don't care. Give the person next to you a high five. Okay, muy bueno, muy bueno. When I was 22 years old, I was drafted to the Los Angeles Rams and as part of our physical, which took all day. I don't remember if it was 1 or 2 days, but it was at least a long day. As part of the physical, we had to do a treadmill test. And it was a stress test for your heart and your lungs. And they put up all these electrodes, EKG, blood pressure, blah, 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 on our brain, everything. And they put us on a treadmill, and they started the treadmill real slow. And the goal was to get our heart rate as high as it can go. At that time, our maximum heart rate was 198 beats a minute. And if you want to know your maximum heart rate, you just take the number 220 minus your age, and that's your max heart rate, give or take. And if you're going to work out, you should work out at 80% of that number. So let me do a little math for you. I know it just fried some of y'all's brains. So if you're 30, 220 minus 30 is 190, and then 190, 80% of that is 190 times 0.8, and then whatever that number is, that's how the number you should try to work out at, and that'll keep you really good shape. So anyway, I'm on the treadmill, and they put us all on the treadmill, and they started walking the treadmill, and they said, run when you feel it's necessary. And they kept speeding up. Then you jog, and they're trying to get your heart rate. Boom, 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 boom. And then they increase the incline, and they start speeding up. And before you know it, we're sprinting on this treadmill with all these stuff, all tubes in your throat and everything. And they're trying to see if your body's healthy because they're going to invest in you as you're like a horse. They just want to see if you're not going to die when they run around the track. The devil does the same thing to us. And he gets our life going and going and going. He has you trying to outdo the next person, outbuy the next person, outperform the next person, trying to prove this to God. And you get your life going so fast, you just run on a treadmill. When God says, you could slow down. All I want is a relationship with you. God wants a relationship. One of the things we learn in Wire for Love is that God created us to have a relationship. The Bible says that everything God created was good. Everyone say good.
Good.
After God created everything for 6 days, he said it was very good. After God created everything for 6 days, he said it was what?
Good.
And then there's only one thing during creation that he said was not good, and that was that man would be alone. It is not good that man be alone. It is not good that man be what?
Alone.
It's not good that man be what?
Alone.
And I don't mean that not have a date necessarily. Some of y'all are like, man. What I mean is that it's not good that people be isolated from other people. Some of y'all have dogs and cats, and the dogs and cats you have might not ever hang out with another dog or cat. The only dog in their life is you. I'm just saying, you know, they don't have a bark bark dog. They just got you, and when you come home, they're like, and they're so excited, happy to see you, and they can live very happily with just humans. Humans cannot live without humans. We would die, literally. If you go get a lung transplant, one of the tests and questions in your evaluation to whether they will give you a lung, because lungs are hard to come by, and they're not just going to give you one because you need one. They will let you die if you are not a good candidate. And one of the questions is, do you have relationships? Because people without relationships die quicker than people with relationships. We were made for relationships. And so God said, it's not good that man be alone. It's not good that man be what?
Alone.
And the reason being, the reason God created us to have relationships, because God wanted us to enjoy what he enjoys, which are loving relationships. God wanted us to enjoy what he enjoys, which is what? Say it again. Well, who did God have a relationship with before there was people? He had a relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he created us that we can enjoy the similar relationship, not only with him, but with each other. Now, I'm going to give you some signs. This is the Father. So if I point to the ceiling, you say Father.
Father.
This is the Son. Say Son.
Son.
This is the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Very good. The Father, the what?
Father.
He sent the
Son.
And the But see how you made a mistake? It was no big deal, right? Look at the person next to you and say, making mistakes is way overrated. Because let's do it one more time.
Father, Father,
he sent the
Son,
and the
Son,
sent the
Holy Spirit.
And guess what? The
Holy
says,
Spirit.
The what?
Holy
he says what the
Son
and the
Son says.
What the There you go. Look at that. So one more time. The
Father.
He sent the
Son.
And the
Son.
He sent the
Holy Spirit.
And the
Holy Spirit.
What the
Son.
And the
Son.
What the
Father.
Now, here's the thing about it is what you just learned. Now, you're not going to go around doing all this stuff. But you can very easily go up to someone and says, the Father sent the Son sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, you know, you could say that. You just learned that. It took 2 minutes. Are you following me? Okay, very good. Guess what else? The Holy
Spirit.
Say it one more time.
Holy Spirit.
He, just say what you think I'm doing.
Lord.
Very good. Say it again.
Lord.
Very good. Say it again.
Lord.
God's.
Love.
In our. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. So here's what happens. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they support each other. They promote each other. They defer to each other. They had a relationship. And God says, you know, we have to create something that can enjoy that with us. None of the animals could do that. He created us in his image to have a relationship. Why is this so critical? It's because the devil will tell you, you have to accomplish. You have to be better than. You have to make a lot of money. God says, all that stuff is a byproduct. I just want to have a relationship with you. That's it. Now, in our relationship, we'll do a bunch of stuff. But in the end, it's about relationship. When you die, no one's going to be asking you how much money you made. No one's going to be asking you, did you make vice president? Did you make partner? Did you own your own business? That is not going to be relevant at all. When you die, God's going to say, oh, you want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. You accomplished what I wanted to, which means, by the way, which means you walk with me. That's it. You were obedient to me. That's it. I didn't ask you to try to do all that other stuff. I didn't ask you to try to outdo that person or that person. It was never that. It's all about relationship. And so the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they modeled that with each other as they deferred to each other and pointed to each other. The Holy Spirit, think about it. Who is the Holy Spirit? He doesn't even have a name. I mean, Holy Spirit is a title. It's a description. He's the Spirit of God. But who is he? He lives in people. And when Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, he said, Holy Spirit, you're going to live in people. No one's going to see you. No one's going to know your name. And matter of fact, you're going to live in their heart, and they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to do what you ask. But go anyway. Okay. They all work together. Imagine if we could have that relationship where we support each other, where we esteemed other people better than ourselves, and we promote and we talk good about other people. We went up to people and say, you know what I like about you? This is the kind of relationship God would love to have and see in his family. Okay? So that's one relationship. Now, this is going to be right brain. This is your right, my left. But so I know the difference between right and left, but this is your right brain. I'm doing this for your sake because I love you. Say right brain,
right brain,
left brain.
Left brain, right brain, left brain, right brain, left brain.
Okay, right brain is about feeling and emotion. Two words, feeling and emotion. Say it.
Feeling and emotion.
Very good.
Feeling and emotion.
Right brain is about
feeling and emotion.
Left brain is about facts and problem solving. Say facts.
Facts.
Say problem solving. Say facts.
Facts.
Say problem solving. Okay, this is? This is? This is? And it processes? It processes? Who's this? Very good. This is what? It processes? This is? This is problem solve. Facts and problem solve. Okay. In order for you to, your love to be perfected, your right brain and your left brain have to be integrated. Now, to love God means to obey God. To love God means to what God?
Obey.
To love God means to what God?
Obey.
Some people cannot obey God because they are emotionally dysfunctional. You're insecure. Oh, I love God. Yes, you have a very strong emotional commitment to God. You read your Bible. You obey God. But there are going to be things you will not be able to do because you are insecure. Because God is going to call you to do something that your right brain is going to tell you is going to be scary. Whoo! You can read all the Bible you want. By the way, God wants to renew your mind. He wants to renew your mind. Okay, so there's three kinds of love we talked about. We talked about Eros love. Eros love is where we get the word erotic. Eros love is all about feeling and emotion, and it's all about me feeling good. Eros love is all about me feeling what?
Good.
It's all about me feeling what?
Good.
I didn't have a sign for erotic or Eros love, so I did this. That's as erotic I won't get on Sunday morning in church, okay? It's like a purring cat. Okay, so that you know, I practice this stuff at home. I'm walking around my house, and my wife's like, oh, "There you go, look at it." I'm down there talking to myself, going, Sometimes people ask my kids, "Is he like that all the time?" Eros love is when you first meet somebody and you are just like over the top. I can't stay away from them. You feel good. Everything's right about y'all's relationship. When they say they like ice cream, you're like, I like ice cream too. Yeah, like 6.9 billion other people like ice cream. What high school do you go? I go to the same high school. Like everybody you know goes to that high school. So you don't know anybody else. But Eros love is like everything's perfect. And Eros love is all about how you feel. And what you really love about this person is that the relationships makes you feel good. It's all about me. Eros love is all about feeling good. Say feeling good.
Yeah.
Feeling what?
Yeah.
And by the way, the feel good that you feel comes from a hormone called dopamine. Dopamine. It's a pleasure drug. And when you take cocaine, dopamine washes your brain. It's the same sensation as cocaine. I had cocaine and I had Eros love. They're the same. Okay? They really are. And so Eros love, but the problem with Eros love is not reality. Matter of fact, you don't see reality. Your friends will come and say, that guy ain't no good for you. Oh, you, not him. The brother's a dog. You just can't see it. Then you move into phileo love, where the Eros love high of the relationship starts to dwindle, and you think you're falling out of love. When in fact, you're not necessarily falling out of love. You're just moving to a more mature, less feeling-based love. The factual-based love is this is a relationship. In other words, now I see that this person is not perfect or perfect. I see that they have faults, but you know, it's okay. I love them anyway. Or I don't like that. But you're starting to see reality. When you're in Eros love, you do not see reality. You're blinded. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but a lot of y'all been intoxicated before. You've been high before. And you know when you're high and intoxicated, you have this really good feeling and you don't see a lot of negative. You just, hey, how you doing? You don't care. And so it's the same type of, it's a similar thing when you fall in Eros love, but then when you get to phileo love, it's more balanced, but just your love is still not perfect. That's when you move into agape love. Agape love is unconditional, self-sacrificial. Now, what does this have to do with Jesus? When people get saved, they're in Eros love with Jesus. Jesus is never in Eros love with you. It's never about feeling for him. It's always about fact. And so what happens is when you get in Eros love with Jesus, you're like, oh, I'm a Christian. I got a Bible and, you know, I got a church. I'll learn how to pray. And God is blessing you with all these things. All you see is all the good. And you think that's reality. You think that's Christianity. It's Eros love. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's not saying it's wrong. It's just a part of it. And then what happens over time, God allows some things to happen into your life that are not all good. And you're like, oh my gosh, God is leaving me and God's not blessing me. And you're trying to hold on to the good feeling and you think that's Christianity. And no, that's just a part of it. God wants to mature and perfect that love. So you move into phileo love where you're learning, I got to read my Bible. I have to get counsel, multitude of counsel to get good answers. I got to study. I got to pray. And I learn how to pray and get through my hard times through prayer. And you start to struggle with the struggle of what Christianity is all about. That's phileo love, but your love is still not perfected. Remember, perfect love is where you obey God all the time. And then you get to the point where you have agape love. And agape love is going to be long down the road where you will say, God, I will do anything you ask anytime you want. Remember, left brain is feeling and emotion. Right brain is fact. What happens is when you have agape love, or when Jesus had agape love, because we're still a long way to go, it's when God calls you to obey him, which is what love is. And your right brain says, oh, it's going to be scary. And your right brain dictates what you do because of your fear. But when your right brain and your left brain are working together, your right brain is saying it's going to be scary, but your left brain is saying, wait a minute, the facts are this. God is on your side. The facts of this, God will never leave you or forsake you. The facts of this is that pain and failure is way overrated. Don't worry about that. You're like, but I'm scared. And what if they reject me? And you go through this battle in your brain, in your heart, and you make a decision. I'm going to succumb and I'm going to submit to my fear. Your love is not perfect. If you remember Job lost everything. Just read the book of Job. All his 10 kids died. All his animals was stolen or taken or burned or killed. His servants were killed except four, because each one of the four came and ran to tell him the bad news. And then his wife was spared. She should have been killed, but I'm going to tell you why in a minute. The reason she should have been killed, if you don't know the story, is because she told Job, her husband, curse God and die. Jack that woman. Now you don't want to hear that advice. I'm just talking about her. I'm not advocating for hitting women. I'm just an expression. So just he's off, girlfriend. But the point is that she said, curse God and die. But here's what Job said. Job said to her, though God slay me, I will still trust him. I don't know if you know that football is the official sport of God. For all you who don't care, please listen closely because this is a biblical concept. This is straight up Bible, I'm getting ready to tell you. Straight up Bible. You watch the game today or any of the games this weekend and you'll see a guy, 200 pounds, whatever, 250, have a collision with a guy bigger than him or two guys bigger than him. Bam! And in reality, it is the force of a car accident. The guy will get up. And he will talk trash, go back to the huddle, and say, give me the ball again. That's the kind of Christian we need to be. When the devil punches us in the mouth, we go, that's all you got? I'm still going to obey God. Now, amen. Basketball players, on the other hand, all you got to do is touch them, and they want two free shots. And don't get me started on soccer players, drama queens. Agape love is this. Agape love is this. Agape love says, Lord, I will obey you no matter what. When Jesus was in the garden and he was getting ready to be arrested and be crucified, he was sweating blood. He was so stressed out. And he says to the Father, Father, is there any other way? I don't want to do this. This is going to hurt. And the Father said, no, you got to do it. And even though emotionally he didn't want to do it, as far as the pain, the facts were there was only one way man can be saved was by a blood sacrifice of a sinful man. It was him. I got to do it. That's agape love. Agape love. So Eros love, Eros love is all about me feeling. Good. All Eros love is all about me feeling. Good. Phileo love is about friendship. Say friendship. Friendship. Agape love. Agape love is covenant love. Say covenant. Covenant. It says, I will obey no matter what. The Bible says to love God is to obey God. To love God is to what God?
Obey God.
To love God is to what God?
Obey God.
Agape love is nurtured over time. Say time.
Time.
Over time. Say time.
Time.
Agape love happens when your mind is renewed. Say renewed.
Renewed.
What is renewed? What is renewed? What is renewed? Okay, let's go back to the beginning. The what?
Father.
He sent the?
Son.
And the? Sent the, and the, what the, and the, what the, very good. What kind of love is, and Eros love is all about me feeling, Eros love is all about me feeling, and what kind of love is this kind of love? Very good. Friendship love or phileo love. Say phileo. Say phileo. What kind of love is this?
Son love, son love.
Yeah, thathafe love. Context, this is what kind of love? Say Eros. Say phileo. Yes, agape love, what kind of love? Say covenant love. To love God is to what God? To love God is to what God? Agape love is nurtured over. And it's nurtured when your mind is?
Renewed.
You're when your mind is?
Renewed.
By the way, agape love must be received before it can be given. We love him because he first loved us. Someone came up to me after the service, last service, and said, is it possible to really have agape love? To love unconditionally? I said, well, what does your mother got to do for you to love her? He said, nothing. I said, you got a kid, baby? No. Well, when you do, you'll learn that. Babies can't do anything. Think about it. They do nothing. They can't talk. They can't walk. They can't pay any bills. They can barely move. All they do is cry and poop. Think about it. That's all he could do. Am I telling the truth? But you loved, no? He's not a baby, he's a young man. Talking about infants like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, weeks old, months old. They can't do nothing like this. But we love them tremendously. We love them. Matter of fact, you love babies you don't even know. But when we get old, problems. It takes time to love, agape love. And we have to receive it from God. Next one. In every relationship, there is a gatekeeper. Superhero. Say gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper.
Nurturer.
Nurturer.
Say gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper.
Say nurturer.
Nurturer.
Say gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper.
Nurturer.
Nurturer.
They work together, the gatekeeper and the nurturer. The gatekeeper is a man usually, and he protects the home. He protects the environment. Our job is to create environments where people are loved, where relationships are developed. Every human lives to answer two questions. One, am I lovable? And two, is love available? Am I lovable? Say, am I lovable?
Am I
what?
Am
I what?
Am
I what?
Lovable.
Is love what?
Available.
Is love what?
Available.
If you think about who you hang with, how you act, how you respond to what people say, what you do, what you dress, how you dress, and everything you do, how much of all that time and energy is to answer those two questions? Do we put ourselves in position and in relationships and in places where we can feel loved? When we don't feel loved, or we don't feel love, it's an environment where I can be loved, we shy away. But we gauge a lot of our relationships and what we do and where we go and how we act on based on, are we being loved and am I feeling valued and important or not? People who we don't feel loved by or valued by, we stay away from them. Environments where we don't feel lovable or we don't feel love is available or we don't feel it's safe to love, we avoid. And so when God says, I want to develop a relationship, he's going to have someone be a gatekeeper to protect the environment and someone be a nurturer to nurture the love. Now, it doesn't mean that the gatekeeper, usually the guy, is not a nurturer. It doesn't mean the nurturer, usually the mom, is not a gatekeeper. Because if you see a mom with a baby, that mom is gatekeeping that baby. When you try to take that baby, she'll jack you up. Can I get amen? So I'm not saying she's a softie, but I'm saying that but women who have a high level of oxytocin, which is a hormone, it's a hormone, it's a bonding hormone. It's a nurturing hormone. Women have a high level of oxytocin, they're more nurturers, and guys have a higher level of testosterone, they're drivers, driven, gatekeeper. In every relationship, there's a what?
Gatekeeper.
And a what?
Nurturer.
So they can create a safe haven. Say safe haven.
Safe.
Say safe haven.
Safe.
Say safe haven.
Safe.
Say safe haven.
Safe.
Say safe haven. And in the safe haven, I answer two questions. I learn in the safe haven that I am lovable, that I am what?
Lovable.
And that love is available. Say love is, say available.
Available.
So in a safe haven, I learn that I am what?
Lovable.
And love is a?
Available.
And love is?
Available.
Very good, very good. So in a relationship, there's a gatekeeper. Say gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper.
And say, very good. The man represents, in the relationship, the man represents Christ, the husband, I should say. The wife represents church. The man represents who?
Christ.
And the woman represents who?
Church.
The man represents who?
Christ.
The wife represents who?
Church.
Y'all are learning to understand caveman. My son was young. He's 23, tomorrow actually. He's 23 years old, and he's our youngest. He speaks less now, but he used to speak caveman when he was young. How many of y'all have sons that speak caveman? Let me explain. So y'all learn caveman. Watch. The man, who? The wife, who? See, you understand caveman. Marriage is a blood covenant. Marriage is a what kind of covenant?
Blood.
Marriage is what kind of covenant? Why? Because when Christ and his church are united. It's a blood covenant. The only way you can become part of Christ is through his bloodshed on the cross. When a man and a woman get married, technically they're supposed to both be virgins. Technically, the woman is sealed shut with a blood membrane called a hymen. And when the man and woman have sex and consummate the marriage, the woman bleeds. So the groom and the bride, Christ and the church, are united through blood. So marriage is a what kind of covenant?
Blood.
What kind of covenant?
Blood.
What kind of covenant?
Blood.
Sex is a one flesh union. God says, I'm going to make two people to become one. God created sex so two people become one. And when you become one with your spouse, there is a physical imprint on your brain of your spouse's smell, look, sounds, all the memories you have of your spouse is imprinted on your brain. Or, by the way, anyone you are intimate with. On your left brain, your right brain has all the emotions. And what God does is that he enables the brain to, when your neurons fire at the same time, feeling and emotions and facts of the relationship, they wire together. Neurons that fire together, wire together. Say fire.
Fire.
Say wire.
Fire.
Neurons that what together?
Fire.
They do what together?
Fire.
And what God wants to do is God says, I'm going to connect the emotions and feelings associated with this person in your life to the facts of that person, and I'm going to connect them together because sex is about pleasure and bonding. Sex is about pleasure and bonding. Say pleasure.
Pleasure.
Say bond.
Bond.
So God wants to wire your brain where you are connected to one person. My wife and I have been together 31 years. We've been married 27. Amen. And there are so many memories of every part of her physical body, every part of her voice, every part of her emotions, all our experiences imprinted on my brain. And then, and not only physical, but the emotions and the memories that are associated with those experiences. And God wanted that way so we can be one with each other. So she is part of me and I am part of her. And that's the way God intended that we would be one. Let me back up. In every relationship, there's a what? And there's a what? And if they work together, they create a what kind of haven? Say safe haven. And in that safe haven, we learn two things, that we are what?
Love.
Say it again.
Love.
Say it again.
Love.
And that love is what?
Safe.
And it's safe, not only for you two to express love to each other, but for your children to express love. And for your children to feel safe that if they make a mistake, no one's going to beat them on the head. When you make a mistake, God doesn't beat you on the head. He picks you up and he says, let's keep going. He wants to create a safe haven around your life, and the devil wants to pervert that haven and to be unsafe and to be unsecure. Now, if God created, oh, by the way, marriage is a what kind of covenant? What kind of covenant? What kind of covenant? And sex is a what kind of giving union? Life. This is blood, blood, blood. Life, life, life. This is blood. 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 Okay, we're getting right out of time. So let me just wrap this up. I got a whole bunch we're not gonna go with. Last thing. Lust desires to please self at the expense of, you know what lust is. Look at y'all. Okay. Lust desires to please at the expense of, because lust wants to get. Take, get, say get. Okay, everyone sit up straight. We're gonna close it down here. Sit up straight. I see some of y'all hugged up. Y'all like, oh, here we talking about love, love. I see you, brother. I see you with your kid. Go ahead, stay. It's all cool. It's cool. Okay, so lust desires to please at the expense of, because lust wants to. By the way, you know someone lusts you when they are asking you to do something that's disobedient to God. You cannot be loved by someone. Or let me say it this way. If you ask someone to do something that's disobedient to God, that is not, I repeat, not, I'm going to say it again, then I'm going to pause for emphasis, not love. It's not love. It's lust. It's all about what I want, not what God wants. That's not love. God is love. God cannot contradict himself. So something that contradicts God cannot be love. It's impossible. Okay? So let me do it again. Lust desires to please at the expense of, because lust wants to.
Yeah.
One more time, lust desires to please,
yeah.
at the expense of, because
yeah.
lust wants to.
Yeah.
Love desires to please,
yeah.
at the expense of,
yeah.
because love wants to.
Yeah.
Love wants to.
Yeah.
Say it three times.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Everyone sit up straight. Let's do the whole thing. Okay, y'all ready? Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. It is not good that man be, because God wanted man to enjoy what he enjoys, which is? I didn't teach you good enough. It's my fault. Say loving relationships.
Loving relationships.
Say loving relationships.
Loving relationships.
It's not good that man be, because God wanted man to enjoy what he enjoys, which is what? Very good, and part of that picture is what how the Trinity interacts with each other. The
Father,
He sent the
Son,
and the
Son,
sent the and the what the bad hand. Okay, the what the and what the very good. So y'all have that memorized. Y'all have that memorized. Oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit. The
Holy Spirit.
Whisper. That's a verse in the Bible, by the way. It's Romans chapter 5. Romans 5:5 says the Holy Spirit pours the God's love in our heart. Brain. Right brain processes. Left brain processes. Three kinds. To love God is to what God? To love God is to what God? Again, what's the relevance? If your right brain is telling you you're scared and your left brain is saying you better do it, obeying God is doing it. And if your right brain emotions bottle you up and freeze you up, you can't obey God. If you ever watch athletes do something in a game, you say they choked. What that literally means on a neurological level is that their right brain said there's too many people watching, there's too much on the line, and it freezes up their physical body where they can't do what they know they can do. That's why you can shoot free throws all day long in the gym by yourself, and now when there's people watching, your right brain says, uh-oh, everyone's watching, if you miss, they're going to laugh at you or whatever, and you get scared, and you can't. That's what that means. Okay? So when God tells you to do something, your right brain may be saying, what about this, what about this, what about this, and you go, yeah, instead of saying, wait a minute, what does the left brain say? What do the facts say? What does the Word of God say? That's why it's so important to read the Word and put the Word in your head. Because that's the facts. What love is always based on fact, never feeling. Love is based on fact. I may feel one way about my wife today and another way tomorrow, but the fact is I love her. The fact is I'm married to her. That's a fact. So it has nothing to do with what I feel. Now, the feelings are involved, but the feelings don't determine whether I or shouldn't determine that I love her or not or treat her in love. Okay, let's back up. Go forward. Okay, say right brain.
Right brain.
Say left brain. Right brain processes. Say it again. Left brain processes. Three kinds of love. Eros love is all about feeling. All about me feeling. And then there's what kind of love? Phileo love's about what? Very good. Then there's a Godly love is covenant love. Say covenant love. It's self-sacrificial. Say self-sacrificial. Agape love is learned over
time.
When your what is renewed.
Time.
When your what is renewed.
Time.
And agape love can only be. Yes, yeah, say it again.
Receive.
Say it again.
Receive.
To love God means to what God?
To
love God means to what God?
Obey.
In every relationship, there's a and a. And they work together to create a what? To create a what? And in that safe haven, you learn that you are what? And that love is? And by the way, if you don't feel lovable today, it's because something happened to you that taught you you weren't lovable, but that was a lie. God loves you. The devil might have taught you that through people, how you were treated, but you are lovable because God still loves you, and that's what really matters. And when you submit yourself to God, he will teach you, nurture you, and bring you into areas, in places where people will love you, and also teach you how to, by faith, love other people without worrying about getting hurt. The devil wants you to be scared to love and scared to extend yourself and give of yourself because you don't want to get hurt. And I don't want to say game, that's the dance we dance our entire life. Agape love gets to the point where I feel so secure in my relationship with God, I'm not holding on to anything. You can laugh at me, I'm okay, I'm still going to obey God. You can criticize me, I'm okay, we can still obey God. That's what God wants to get you to. And it's not about how much money you make or how popular you are, can you obey God at all costs? Okay. Lastly, and then I'm gonna send you out of here. Lust desires to please at the expense of, because lust wants to. Love desires to please at the expense of, love wants to give. Give yourself a hand. A couple quick things. Number one, I want to encourage you. You have facts in your brain. Now you have to use them. You have to apply it to your life. And so when you get into a situation where your feelings, your emotions, your hormones, whatever, are saying one thing, you have to say, what are the facts? I got to obey God. And God will allow you to be in situations where your faithfulness is tested. And it's as simple about making a decision. You have to make a decision. Obeying God is not about feeling. It's about a decision. Sometimes it'll be easy, you'll feel like it, sometimes you won't. It's irrelevant. It's about a decision. And you have to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. I'm not feeling like I'm supposed to obey, but I know what I'm supposed to do. Take those thoughts captive and you obey. If you remember, I was talking about REM paralysis. When you go to sleep at night, you have about 5 REM cycles, rapid eye movement, and during your REM cycle, you have dreams. And during your REM cycle, your brain is actually more active than when you're awake. But during your REM cycle, you're having these dreams, you go into REM paralysis, which means that your body, your spine will block all the nerve signals to your hands and feet so you can't move when you're having your dream. Why? Because if you can move, you might act out your dream. Someone say, thank God. Say, praise the Lord. And so what happens is you can't act out your dream, but you're having this dream in your head, and then your body's going, because you want to do it, but you can't. And what God is teaching us is, he's teaching us a whole lot of things, but one he's teaching us is, look, you have to take thoughts captive, and even though you may be thinking something, that you don't let your body act on it. So you're right, whatever brain is saying, go do this. You say, no, I got to make it obedient to the fact of God's word. Love is always based on fact, never feeling. Fact. The fact is God's word. Okay, I'll leave you with this. Do y'all know who Tim Tebow is? Okay, I did the Broncos chapel last night, and he was there. And I don't know if y'all do Twitter or Facebook, but I tweet out stuff every day, and I got a little prayer request conversation with him that I'm going to tweet out today. But if you don't follow Facebook or Twitter, follow me because I tweet out stuff every day. But he was here this morning, and I want to challenge you. Forget Chargers, Broncos, football, whatever. Or forget they're in the AFC West and all that kind of stuff. It's bigger than that. Because he is, I just very briefly, God has him in a very most unique position of what he's doing and how God is using him in the NFL. Now, I'm sure a lot of you aren't following it. You don't care. But I would just tell you as a brother in the Lord, him, as our brother in the Lord, to pray for that dude. Because I have never, and this is my small experience in life. I'm not very old and, I haven't seen everything. But in my brief experience, I've never seen an athlete in my life be so much in the eye of the spiritual battle, eye of the storm, like I had with him. And so I would ask you to pray for him. And that he would just stay strong in the Lord, which I'm very confident he will, and God would use him in an amazing way. So when I did the chapel last night, I said to like 20 guys, and the coach, head coach was in there, I said, look, if you guys want to come to church tomorrow, our church is 5 minutes away. You can be here at 8 o'clock service, go back to the hotel, boom, boom, boom. And he's the only guy that said, I'm going to go. And he came down here, got up early, came to church, went back, got in time for his meeting. But that's a small thing compared to what he's doing in the field. So when you see him out there playing, yeah, he's AFC West, but there's something way bigger than that that God, and you'll hear a lot of criticism about him. He can't do this, he can't do this. But God is somehow anointed. They had a commentator on ESPN say, if the Broncos beat the Jets, this was last week, if the Broncos beat the Jets, I will go to church. So I say it to say that that's kind of the front and center of Jesus in his situation, because they don't think he's that good and blah, blah, blah. And you know, if he can pull that off, God must be in it. And the Broncos beat the Jets. And the guy said, I'm going to first service Sunday. But there's a lot more to the story. There's a lot more to the story, but I would just tell you, just pray for him, because like I said, there's a lot of Christians in the NFL, I think, and probably more than any other sport. There's chaplains, they have chapel every week, every team. It's just amazing. It's very Christianized. But that guy is over the top. God has anointed him for something very special. So just pray for him. And I say, because I just saw him and he was here today. So, you know, hopefully God can use us in his life to encourage him. So next week we're going to do Cast of Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. And Lord, may we be a light in this world for Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we would be pure. That we would live pure lives. And that we would be men and women of God. And that when our right brain is telling us to back down, to be nervous, to be fearful, to hesitate, that we would act on the facts. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things. When you leave here, we have purity bracelets if you haven't gotten one. And if you have, we would like to hear your testimonies on whyforlove.net. We have about 1,000 testimonies. We gave out about 7,000 bracelets. So tell us your testimony and how you're going to stay pure. Thank you. God bless you.